The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders. Indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance. Here, and well, this is the 29th day of December 2021. Not many days left in this year, and we have a whole lot to talk about tonight. So, we want to get started by saying, on the board is the mighty Andrew.
Good evening, Pastor, and everyone else.
Alrighty. And then out there, way out yonder in Missouri, none other than that parson, Joe Larson.
Yes, that highly unpaid professional assistant is back once again.
And then we have Miss Nature. She's spicy and feisty. None other than the herbalist. None other than Miss Wendy Wilson.
Good evening, Pastor, and to everyone.
You never know what's going to happen when you come here, do you, Wendy? Already.
No.
Well, anyhow, we always love having you. You are a smart lady. Listen. We're going to start out tonight, though. I want to pray for doers of the word, and especially the newest one to come down with the COVID is my son and his wife. So I'm going to just start out by doing that. Join with me, all you folks around the country, while you're praying. Pray for those of that you have friends that are sick or just need prayer. And so join with us. Heavenly Father, Lord God, as we get going into tonight's program, Lord, I just want to hold up all of those from doers of the word, those that are doers of the word. They are. And, Lord, I know I'm not fit to pastor a church that's not an activist church. And I can truly say we're an activist church. And so, Lord, I just want to hold up those that are taking it, you know, this COVID or this flu. Some of them have one, some of the other. And especially my own son and daughter-in-law. Lord God, who have recently come down with that, and just hold them up to you, Lord, and ask, Lord, that you touch them, keep them strong, keep them healthy, and more than anything else, Lord, I pray that you turn their desires towards you more and more every day in every way in all things as we look for your return. This we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
All righty. We're going to get started tonight. And do you remember what the title was, Joe?
When they say, we say.
Absolutely. And here, we're going to pick it up where we left off. And what we're talking about is today, you know, the communists in the past said the future will be, the battles will be won with wars of words. We're going to change the language, the terminology. We will use terminology to make whatever crimes or sins or whatever evil we want to commit palatable. We'll use terms like, instead of killing a baby, an abortion, they say, they terminate a pregnancy or evacuate.
They call it a choice.
Yeah. And so, anyhow, and you have all of these things, they, you know, for the sin of sodomy, they call it, being gay now or gay rights. It's just with the most vile, whatever the most vile sins are, they've got language of illusion, confusion, and delusion. And so people need to be, and we said this before, you know, that you folks out there listening to us now, you know, most of you are the older folks. You're either grandparents or your parents. And we, for years and years, for almost 50 years now, we've been telling you, warning you and warning you and warning you about the public school system, how it was becoming nothing but hotbeds of cultural Marxism. And now you know what we're talking about. Now you're seeing what we told you was coming. And so it's up to you to be, number one, to be bold. You have the call. We started out in 2 Timothy chapter 4. You have the charge. You have a charge to refute, to rebuke, and to exhort. And as Christians, you are to be bold, and don't worry about, you got to tell the truth. If you love them, you have to tell the truth. And I know many of you, I hear from the ladies out there, Wendy, telling me, some of them crying, how their children have no longer will talk to them because they won't take the poisonous poke. These ladies have much better discernment than their children, or have been around and understand much more. And yet, you know, it hurts them. But you ladies have to be bold. You have to stand there, because, listen, when you've got right on your side, and you do, you've got to tell them, look, this saith the Lord God. This says God's word, the Bible. God has said. And you make it very bold to them and let them know that, okay? And then tell them, don't ever forget that I'm the one that told you. I want you to remember that, okay? And so you need to do that. In fact, when we were out there at the abortion mills, and these women would come in, some of them would, vile women, would boast about they've killed two or three babies, and we're here, we have the right to do that. And I preached to them, and I said, these words, you're going to hear these words while you're in that lake of fire, when you're in hell. Part of that hell is going to be the words that I'm preaching to you right now from God's word. Will return to you over and over. It'll return to you. That's part of the being in hell. And usually that took the smile off their face. But anyhow, what do you think, Wendy?
Yeah, there's a lot out there that we have to pray about, for sure.
Yep. So we're going to start tonight. Joe, I want you to read from Romans chapter 9, verse 13 through 17.
13 through 17. I want to say, with your introduction there about spending almost 50 years warning people, you're kind of giving our age away. But be that as it may. 13. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he hath said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion.
No, I said through 17.
Oh, 7, I'm sorry. So then, is it not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy? For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth.
Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Okay, so here, what do you say when they say out there that God loves everybody? God loves everybody. Don't worry about your sins. Don't worry. There is no hell. You know, I had a fellow the other day say, well, I believe that there's going to be a hell, but I don't believe there's a lake of fire. Well, you will. You know, it's right in God's word, the Bible. The Bible doesn't lie. It's been proven.
It's all true or none of it's true, right?
Right. So here now, so when people say these things, don't worry about that. God loves everybody. That's one of these sound bites you hear all the time, but that's not what the word of God says. The word of God.
Places, he's hated people. He's hated behaviors. He's hated nations. He's hated people. So it's a tribe or a group, you know.
Well, How about those? How many of those people that commit iniquity does God hate?
All of them.
That's what it says, right? Now, so,
right.
So here.
That covers a lot of people, doesn't it?
Right. Now, at the same time, see, at the same time as we're saying this, we always have to be very, very careful that we don't read anything into Scripture that's not there, okay?
Right.
Because God says don't add to or take away, and he doesn't stutter, right?
Right. Not one jot, not one tittle.
So here he says here, when he tells you, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Well, here now, again, God does not, just because he says, Esau have I hated. Did I just say that Jacob I've loved, but Esau I'm sending to hell?
No.
No? And he didn't say that, did he?
He's going to hell.
No, he didn't say that. You see, God is merciful. God is very, very merciful, right?
Right.
And so because God hates something, he will condemn it, but it doesn't mean that he sent Jacob to hell. That you'll be reading.
God hates my sins that I have committed, but through his mercy I have been forgiven of those sins, covered by the blood of the Lamb, and they have been forgotten. But he still hated those sins.
Right. And he says, I have hated. Now, you know, we don't. Right. So Esau may have repented, but God, for Isaac's sake, might have shown mercy. So we don't know that. So we don't want to say, well, see, now he sent Jacob to hell. We don't want to say that. And we don't want to say that all of those people that commit iniquity go to hell. If they repent, they don't go to hell, do they?
No.
So, Wendy, what do you say?
God has forgiven them.
What do you say to these people? Because I get this mostly from women I've talked to. That they'd say that God loves everybody and that God is tolerant, he is non-judgmental, and he doesn't demand repentance. He accepts you the way you are. What do you say to those women?
God loves his creation. Go ahead, Wendy.
I would just say the wages of sin is death, so you can't have it both ways.
Well, that's right, but when it comes to being judgmental, is there any man that ever walked the face of this earth? And when it comes to tolerance of sin, that has been less tolerant than the Lord Jesus Christ of sin? If you read Revelation 19, he tells you kind of how he's going to deal with that, okay?
Yeah.
And it's not, he doesn't deal with it in a wussy way, okay?
We know the Lord Jesus is going to be called the Supreme Judge of the universe. That kind of gives you a clue, doesn't it, right there?
Yep.
Supreme Judge, he will judge all of mankind. And, yes, he loved mankind enough to send his only begotten Son to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But God also knew there was many who would not accept that, would not believe in him, would not accept him, would not accept his Son. And he knew before he created them those who would go to hell.
Well, that's the other argument, that when you hear these people say God died for everybody, no, the Bible doesn't teach that at all. In fact, it's very specific. If you go to Romans chapter 8, it tells you very specifically who he died for. See, let me ask you this, Joe. Does God accomplish what he says he do?
Yes.
Okay. Does he ever fail?
No.
So if he were to die for everybody and not everybody would be saved, would he have failed?
He would have failed.
Now, do you know who says that he did fail? The Pope. The Pope said he failed.
Yeah.
He said that God failed at Calvary because not everybody was saved. Well, no, he did not fail at Calvary. He did not die for everyone. He made it very clear for those that were covered by the blood.
What? Okay. Which
now,
means those who came to him and asked for forgiveness of their sins, repented of their sins, and were forgiven, he died for every one of those who chose to accept his offer of mercy.
Okay. Wendy, was his blood sufficient to cover take away the sins of the whole world?
Oh, yeah, it was.
So it was sufficient to take away. It was his will that none come short of the glory, that all be saved. But his blood was not applied to everyone. Had it been applied to everyone, when he says, if I go to my father's house, there's a mansion, okay, and I will, you know, you're going to have a mansion for all of us. God has a mansion in heaven. Well, he don't have mansions for everybody, does he?
Right.
So, all righty. Now, let's go to Psalm 5, and Joe, read verses 5 and 6.
Five and six.
Yep.
The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man.
All right, so here now, today the Democrats are so evil that they lie to God. I mean, they lie to God, and when they support and embrace every kind of sin, and then they say how much they love God and how strong their faith in God is. In other words, I've heard Nancy Pelosi, in 1 minute, talking about more and more abortion. We got to have more abortion. It's got to be, you know, and then the next minute telling me, talking about how strong her faith is, okay? You've heard her talking. We watched what she was doing at that sodomite parade.
Right.
What an evil thing when she was telling Wendy, two sodomites standing out in the middle of a street in broad daylight, stark naked, sodomizing each other. And Nancy Pelosi is standing right next to these two naked men sodomizing each other and telling them that Jesus would be very pleased with the way that they're showing love for each other.
Wow.
Now that's a sick woman. That's a very, very sick woman out there. And Joe and I witnessed that. So here, now, so when she talks about her faith, her strong faith, and then she does that, that's lying, isn't it? That's what that word leasing means. That speak leasing, destroy them that speak leasing. That's exactly what she was doing, okay? So here,
verse 4 says, neither shall evil dwell with thee. Evil cannot dwell in the presence of the Lord. So those that have not been, you know, forgiven by God, washed by the blood of the Lamb, cannot dwell with him, cannot be near him.
Right. And so then he says, thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak the leasing. So in Revelation 20.
The Democrat Party, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because
but that's what it says.
Here, you know, they're actually, lying to them is not an elective; it's a requirement. I mean, they are required, according to Karl Marx's manifesto, they're required to lie. It's not an elective with them, and they do it very well. Okay, in fact, they're. Right now, remember how they used to say that Bill Clinton was the best liar? They actually had those articles, I think it was Time or Newsweek, how he was not only a good liar, he was a great liar, and he was their liar.
Their
okay?
liar, yep.
Now they're saying...
We both checked that out. It was true. We found the source. We saw it, and we verified it.
I read it right out of the magazine, right
the
here.
Radio, yep.
Yeah. And so here now they're saying Adam Schiff. Adam Schiff is their liar. He's their best liar, okay? But everybody knows he's lying, okay, right?
He's not good at it. He's terrible at it.
And so turn over to Psalm 11. Psalm 11.
All right.
And read me verses 5 and 6.
The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup.
So
there's that word hateth again.
Okay, so here now, if you read the entire psalm, it's, you know, God loves and he tests the righteous, but the wicked, those that are the woke, those that are what we call the woke today, those that push the Well, those that are pushing this poisonous poke, pushing this poison upon people, killing people, okay? Those that promote abortion, kill children by abortion, sodomy, pedophilia, transgender, that, you know, that is the entire, you know, that is the platform of the Democratic Communist Party. All of these sins, that's their platform. And so, again, here he says, the Lord trieth the righteous. That means he tests us.
Right.
And boy, do we get tests sometimes. But the wicked and him that love violence, his soul hateth. So there you go. And do you think killing innocent little babies or torturing puppies, more and more stuff is coming out. They just found 300 and something dead puppies, and that's another part of Anthony Fauci's program. Torturing, this man is a fiend. He is, he's an animal. He's a beast. He's ultimate evil. By the way, do you know how much money your tax dollars he receives every year, Wendy?
No.
Well, I can tell you, he receives every year $430,000. That's $30,000 more than the president gets to depopulate America. You know, here's what they're saying out there. They're saying we must bring in more illegal aliens with every kind of disease so that we can spread the disease. We'll convince them that we're killing them for their own good. I mean, they're doing that. I could not believe how easily people were deceived, how easily people bought in and drank the Kool-Aid. And you see all the muskrats running around with their masks on and the fear in their eyes, how easily they were duped, how quickly they were duped. You know, I'd like to get a bunch of those dunce caps. And I have no doubt in my mind that when I run across the mask rats out there, those running around with masks on their face and fear in their eyes, I have no doubt in my mind I could convince them to wear the dunce cap too, telling them that it would help protect them more, okay?
Well, you know, Pastor,
yeah.
that behavior and set and reasoning that, you know, we're going to make you sick, but it's going to be for your own good, like you were just saying, that is a narcissistic trait. They reward good with evil. That's what they do.
Yeah. So, in other words, they tell you, if you hear the elite speaking and talking, they'll actually tell you, you know, the people have shown themselves to be really stupid. And so let's mask them up and kill them off, and they laugh. They think it's funny. And you know what? I hate to say it, but so many of the people have been so dumbed down, but we saw it coming. And so we're coming to a break, and then after the break, I'm going to play a short clip, Wendy. And this goes back to something that we did about 10, 12 years ago. In fact, I think it goes back to 2009. Now, this woman, I believe we had her on, but this clip, one of the old clips, I think is from Jesse Ventura's program. But anyhow, we'll be back after this.
We'll keep fighting the fight. We'll stand for God and do what's right. We will march into the night. We'll keep fighting the fight.
We believe God's word is true. The Democrats don't have a clue. Whatever's wrong, that's what they'll do. But we believe God's word is true.
We'll keep fighting the fight. We'll stand for God and do what's right. March into the night, and we'll keep fighting the fight.
We won't back up and we won't back down. Jesus Christ will stand. stand our ground. And hand in hand till the trumpet sounds, we won't back up and we won't back down.
We'll keep fighting the fight. We'll stand for God and do what's right. We will march into the night. And we'll keep fighting the fight. The Lord will be here any day. Things look bad, but that's okay. Get ready, saints, to fly away. Cause the Lord will be here any day. We'll keep fighting the fight. We'll stand for God and do what's right. March into the night, and we'll keep fighting the fight. We'll keep fighting the fight. We'll stand for God and do what's right. We will march into the night, and we'll keep fighting the fight. We will march into the night, and we'll keep fighting the fight.
All right, there you go. Those are doers of the word you just heard there. And I'm going to play this clip. Now, this clip here goes back. Well, this is Dr. Rima LeBeau. Dr. Rima LeBeau. This goes back to September of 2009. And she's talking about vaccines and population. And she was, you know, this is exactly what we were talking about. We were telling you this. And in fact, I'm pretty sure we had her on the program, Joe, and we were telling you, we've actually go back to the 80s. We've been talking about what they were going to do, but let me play a little clip for you. I hope I can get the volume up. Come on. It's not okay. And for some reason, I'm having a problem getting the volume up on this thing. Let me see. I'm going to try this again. Here. Okay. I think it's loading. Let me see. Come on. Cooperate with me.
The fun of live radio when you make a mistake, yeah, is only a few million people realize you're messing up.
Yeah, I don't know. I just had this thing just a minute ago. It was working just fine, and now it's not cooperating.
Listening.
Yep, it's not cooperating with me. It looks like it's trying to load up, but it's not. So I'm just going to leave it there, and
you
we'll
have
go.
An engineer nearby, don't you?
Not actually. I'm in a remote studio.
Because in a very short time, not today, not tomorrow, but very soon, we'll be facing compulsory vaccination under the mistaken term of voluntary vaccination.
What is it about these vaccinations? You think that they're bad?
Well, first of all, let's start with the fact that the World Health Organization has decided that we have 90% too many people. The World Health Organization has been working since 1974 on vaccines to create permanent sterility.
Doctor, the response is going to be, you're crazy. How can you say this stuff?
I show them the documentation.
Now, this is pretty shocking.
This process has already been ongoing. To make matters worse, we know that the vaccines that were illegally approved by FDA contain a substance called squalene. If I inject you with squalene, your immune system will attack the squalene, but then it starts attacking all of of the parts of your body. What does that look like when you meet a person to whom that is happening? It looks like Gulf War syndrome. It looks like every joint in the body swollen and intolerably painful and immobilized.
This is in these shots they're going to give us?
It's in some of them, but the U.S. government has a trick up their sleeve. They will induce a pandemic using the nasal mist vaccine, which is a live attenuated virus. That means that if I take it, I can infect you. You're going to get the flu. Everybody around us is going to get the flu. Then the United States government, based on their statements that they've already made, will say, oh my, we have a pandemic. Oh my goodness, we don't have enough doses. So we'll add mix squalene at the 90,000 injection stations that the Department of Health and Human Services announced that they will ship the vaccines to.
People lining up.
All right, there you go, Joe. You had, like Ronald Reagan used to say, the nine scariest words there are. We're from the government, we're here to help. Yeah. What do you think about that, Wendy?
Well, it is scary.
Alrighty. So, but now, what we have now today is much worse than what she was talking about. People are dying off.
Need her name?
It was Dr. Rona Rennie. Let me see. Rima. It was R.M.A. LeBeau. Rima LeBeau. Okay. Now, so they have, it's much worse. What they have today is much worse. I just had a clip. I just watched one. And they went from sporting event to sporting event to sporting event to sporting event, showing you basketball players dying on the court, soccer players dying on the field, football players dying on the field. And you're not seeing any of this at all. None of this at all. But those people in the sports are starting to figure this out, aren't they, Joe?
They sure are. In fact, one of their big stars has let the
cat out of the bag. Okay, go ahead and tell him.
Aaron Rodgers came out with a bombshell. He said the NFL is secretly administering these derided COVID drugs. He said, I do know. This is a quote. I do know behind the scenes. This is 100% true. There are many teams out there who are recommending a lot of the same treatments that I got for their players. This is from Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers. Was on an interview with Pat McAfee's Sirius XM show, and he said he came out and said, if science can't be questioned, it's not science anymore, it's propaganda, and that's the truth. He said, along with ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, he was treated with monoclonal antibodies, zinc, vitamin C and D, and this was the treatment was recommended by podcaster and his friend Joe Rogan, who quickly recovered from his own bout with COVID. And Aaron said, hey, you know, people can laugh and say I took a horse to warmer or anything you want to, but I got better in 48 hours.
All right, there you go. I wanted to tell you folks here, as we go through it, you're going to talk to Wendy. She has a catalog. It's dynamite. She's got some of the very best natural medicines you're going to buy. Natural medicine, right? What God gave us. God gave us the herbs, the natural herbs, the roots and those things. God gave them to us. What the big pharma has given to us, Biden and these people, are the, well, they're pharmakia. They're pharmakia, and that is witchcraft. So you better ask yourself, what should you take? What God has given you? Who knows the best? Or Big Pharma, folks. And anyhow, you can get this catalog by calling 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. And go to page 25 and look at the pandemic kit. It's very, very important. It's the pandemic kit she has there. So, Wendy, tell us about, tell us what you're going to tell us.
Ah, well, I'm going to talk about whistleblower busters today. You know, because I've read a lot of these journal articles and reports on how bad the corruption is within the scientific research community. You know, I wanted to know why there were not more scientists coming out to expose all this fraud, right? You know, so you know what I did, Pastor? I went to the journal search engines and I typed in whistleblower. I wanted to see what came up, and lo and behold, there was this study why whistleblowers are few and far between these days. Now, science is telling us that they know why you are not hearing about their dark deeds, and they actually did a report on it. So I thought I'd share it with you.
Please do.
Okay. So there's lots of reasons why scientists may not want to blow the whistle on their colleagues or the drug companies. You know what they are, threats, intimidation. They're all talked about in a situation like that.
Their careers. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, however, this was a 2017 report by the Florida Atlantic University, and they found that financial rewards are very persuasive in order to kill the idea of becoming a whistleblower. All right? You hang with me. This gets interesting. This was a quote from the report at Florida Atlantic University. They say financial rewards can discourage a whistleblower from reporting fraud in a timely manner. Financial gain can steer a person off their moral course in doing the right thing. End of quote. And by the way, they don't consider a financial reward as a bribe, okay? According to their report, seducing someone with financial reward to keep their mouth shut is not called a bribe. According to James Weinberg, PhD of Florida Atlantic University College of Business, they call it now cost-benefit analysis. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah, I did. I hear that term all the time, especially if you watch the Money Channel.
Okay. So here is a quote from Stephen Purnell. He's a PhD, Providence College School of Business. He says, as a result, when you perceive risks of reporting and they're greater than the potential reward, people will be less likely to report fraud had they not been told about the existence of an incentive program to begin with. So people start to weigh the option. And it's interesting how these intellectuals look at these things, because twisting words and relabeling bad behavior as being something less offensive and using positive perceptions, this is what they're doing. And I think you call it the words of illusion, don't you?
Illusion, confusion, and delusion.
Right. Well, this research did get published in the October 2017 Auditing Journal of Practice and Theory. But here's how it gets really interesting. You might see a political slant on this here. When there is a problem of having a moral, there's this problem of having a moral ceiling with regard to whistleblowing. So what's done is they have decided, well, let's put into place a cutoff line to supposedly encourage whistleblowing, but at the same time discourage it altogether. So, for instance, there are companies and regulating agencies that offer financial incentives to the whistleblowers, but it only applies if the allegations are proven to be true and they can recover a minimum of $1 million for the Internal Revenue Service. Do you see how they've worked that? There's a restrictive element to it, see? So the research that this type of incentive is really a deterrent to reporting crimes of fraud. So they want to give you a financial incentive and encourage you to be a whistleblower, but at the same time, it has to meet this criteria in order for it to be real. So this is how, you know, criminals works, really. Now, Florida Atlantic says this, research shows that potential whistleblowers would report fraud via a whistleblower hotline when incentives were available. However, if the size of the fraud is less than the required minimum threshold, it was less likely the fraud would be reported in a timely manner. So they go on to say, what is really happening is the hijacking of the moral decision frame by financial incentive. Once that happens, whether or not to report the fraud will largely become a function of an individual's perception of adequacy in light of the perceived risk of reporting it. So this is how criminals think. They provide an illusion of doing the right thing with an incentive, but they install stumbling blocks to prevent you from doing the right thing. Are you following me with this, Pastor?
Well, I sure am. You know, Solomon said it this way. Mm-hmm. He said, money answereth all things.
Well, he was so right. He was so right about that. So companies and these regulatory bodies know that when an incentive plan installed with a threshold in place with regards to whistleblowing, they know fraud reporting drops. It's less likely. So this crushes the early detection of the fraud, and that's really critical. Here's a quote from the Florida Atlantic. They say, this is a particularly problematic since the early detection of fraud is a critical factor in minimizing potential damages and securing access to evidence, end of quote. So the incentive programs with the tolls encourage the whistleblower to hold off, to delay the reporting until the fraud is so bad that it would increase the likelihood of meeting that million-dollar threshold mark before they reported it. However, how likely will waiting miss an opportune moment necessary to stop the fraud, because by then they packed their bags and destroyed all the evidence?
Well, that's true, and you can liken that. People were saying, why hasn't our military moved? Why hasn't our military done their job? Okay, what we have, you know, we've been invaded by five foreign countries, cyber warfare. We've been from within, treason, high treason from within. We have the deep state, the dirty cops, the Justice Department, all absolutely corrupt, totally corrupt. And why hasn't the military? Well, the answers that we get is, well, they're waiting for it to get so bad, that they'll have absolute support from the entire people out there. Well, I think it's past that mark by now. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, we're looking to these institutions that are supposed to take action on this, and we're looking at legislators, we're looking at judges, we're looking at the Supreme Court, and they don't seem to care.
Well, they do care. It's about money answereth all things. There's big dollars out there for those that will betray the country, God, and control. Look, Merrick Garland is a dirty cop. Merrick Garland is a dirty cop. Merrick Garland is a dirty cop. Okay, he goes in there, the Department of Justice, and he just took over for some others out there. And here, what does he do? You saw two summers. You saw burn, loot, and murder. You saw Antifa burning buildings down, killing people, destroying property, attacking people. Not one bit. The money was coming. George Soros and the money with the boys, and we're talking about Mark Zuckerberg and others. They were putting the money. They knew where to place their money. And so you didn't see any prosecutions on any of this. Absolute corruption. Absolute corruption. Look, you got Fauci. This guy has killed. In this country, I would say he's responsible for about 600,000 people that have died because of his poison. Have you heard? Have you seen? Now, I have Rand Paul, Jim Jordan. A lot of these politicians say, this guy needs to go to prison. He's guilty. He's guilty of killing people, and that's true. But we don't have a Department of Justice. We do not have a department. It's a part of the Democratic Communist Party. And so,
well, and that's the problem. When people perceive there's no justice, there's no, there's no one you can go to get the justice and to settle the matter. That's a problem when more people perceive that. And here's the irony of this report on whistleblower busters, Pastor. This was a quote from Gerald Martin, a professor of finance at the American University of School of Business. He said, U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder called on Congress to increase rewards for whistleblowers to improve the Department of Justice's ability to conduct investigations and stop misconduct. So what he was really doing is installing these incentives to, you know, do the opposite.
You're right. They will always do the opposite of what they say. That comes right out of Karl Marx's manual. Comes right out of his manual.
So this is how they do. And this is hard. I mean, your listening audience out there listening to this, you're probably shaking your heads and going, well, not surprised to hear this, but, you know, very disappointed to hear it. It's hard for the average person to think like a criminal mind. It really is. It's exhausting to even go there and God forbid, try to be a step ahead of them. Because we're, you know, godly people don't think like this. And these people can think so low, you would think they couldn't go lower, but they do. And it's just exhausting to even try to wrap your brain around how they operate and what they do.
Well, right here, here's one of these people that you're talking about right here. Facebook's Zuckerberg literally bought the 2020 election for Biden. Now, we told you this. We told you back when this was going on. In fact, we actually told you back in 2015, even before the 2016, Zuckerberg was saying that they're going to buy. He was promoting. Remember, Joe, he was saying he could flip 15 million votes.
And he posted about it, and 15 million votes is a lot of votes, folks.
Well, they weren't able to pull it off in 2016, and they were angered, and they said, the next time comes along, we're not going to fail this time. And so here, let me read you the article. If there was a good reason to bust Facebook into little tiny pieces like Ma Bell, the one-time telephone monopoly, it's time. It's this. Mark Zuckerberg's social media creation has become so big, so rich, and so powerful, it allowed him to literally buy the 2020 election for Joe Biden and his band of left-wing psychopaths. This is not hyperbole. That is according to documents filed by the Zuckerberg-funded Center for Technology and Civic Life. With the Internal Revenue Services. Remember, Zuckerberg came right out and said he was going to do it. He knows that with his money, he can say that he can buy who he has to buy. These documents show that nonprofit org spent $332 million in grants and other assistance to domestic organizations and domestic governments during the 2020 election to increase civic participation by modernizing engagement between local government and the people they serve. The article is very long, but then it goes on to another $350 million.
All of the Biden supporters, Biden voters, and everything was anti-Trump and pro-Biden. That sums up the whole next pages.
Well, no, what he did was they used voter fraud. It was the most amount of election fraud that you've ever seen. Ever.
That's what I'm saying. They helped make sure that Democrats got registered and Republicans didn't. They made sure that the mail-in ballots got put in, and, you know, just everything was totally one-sided.
Right. And like in Michigan, just recently they found another 25,000 ballots of from dead people that were dead when they cast their ballots, okay? The voter fraud was unbelievable. And now in Dominion, I understand, in Pennsylvania, they've also got some more evidence of a lot more, which we knew. The voter fraud, the election fraud was unbelievable. Donald Trump legally won that election. I mean, but he was betrayed, and he was betrayed from within. Mike Pence, not only did he betray Trump, he betrayed us too, the entire country. And
I was thinking the Democrats always give certain, you know, things to the minority, certain money, benefits, whatever. But what I couldn't figure out is what did they give to the dead voters to get them to vote? What was their line? What was their promise to the dead voters that got that dead vote, you know, all Democrat?
I don't know, Joe.
That's... I'll have to go back and research that one a little bit.
All righty. Now, here's one, Wendy. The most vaccinated... Now, this is from the New American. This is the New American that come out today. The most vaccinated die because of the vax-induced autoimmune attacks on their own organs. This has just came out today. A recent published study suggests that nearly every COVID vaccine recipient who died within 7 days to 6 months after inoculation died because of vaccine-induced autoimmune damage. A paper entitled On COVID Vaccines, Why They Cannot Work and Irrefutable Evidence of Their Causative Role in the Deaths After Vaccination was published by Sukrit Bagdi, M.D., and Arnie Burkhardt, M.D., both German-based and widely published scientists in their fields. The findings were presented during an interdisciplinary symposium on COVID shots, safety, and efficacy on December 10th, and if they received the attention and regard they deserve from health authorities, the vaccination campaign would be arguably stopped today. But the money is going to the fake news. You can, folks out there, you can trust the fake news media to betray you. I mean, completely betray you. NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, they will do what they're paid to do. They will betray you. Joe, I have no doubts in my mind. I have no doubts in my mind of those that even at the local stations were told, look, right here in Cleveland, I don't have a doubt in my mind. If they were told, look, Cleveland's going to get nuked. It's going to get nuked on Tuesday. You got 3 days to pack up your stuff and get out of there, but don't say anything. I believe that they would do that, that they would keep it quiet, pack up, and leave if they were told to do that. What do you think?
Yeah, as long as they could get their own mother or, you know, close family members. Yeah, I'm afraid I have to agree with you, and I hate to say that, but that'd be the only exception that they can get their family members out.
Well, you know, that's what you would do. That's not necessarily what they would do.
Yeah, you got okay. A point. I can't think like they do.
Okay, there you go. So what do you think about all that, Wendy?
We about that even last night with the Danish researchers finding out about the more vaccines you get, the more likely you are to get infected from Omicron. And it was talking about how the antibody-dependent enhancement, it turns around and increases the ability of the to infect the cells, making the disease worse. So we started talking about that. I think probably the first people on radio to talk about it.
Well, you know, Wendy, you talked about this. Revelation, only the vaccinated died during the 1918 Spanish flu epidemic, okay? Everything you thought you knew about the infamous Spanish flu outbreak of 1918 is probably wrong, but you talked about this. It turns out that one of the most well-known pandemics from recent history was actually caused by the vaccines that were supposedly introduced to stop it, much like the Wuhan coronavirus vaccines of today that are spreading more COVID. Also, it was the face masks they were wearing, too. Dr. Sal Martintegano explains that the mass vaccination during the Spanish flu is what actually caused people to die. In fact, the only people who ended up dying during the ordeal were those who got jabbed.
Yep, the ones okay. That didn't did okay. They didn't get sick. What it was, if I recall the research, what it was they were experimenting with vaccines.
Now you'll have to hold it because we're up against a hard break.
Okay.
Be right back. One more. Don't go away. Be right back.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.